Hello, my name is Sean Seymour. I'm a city guide and blue badge guide, and I've been leading guided tours in London for the last 30 years. Majority of my activities is centred around London walks. These are focused walks around a small area of London, giving insights and basically sharing secrets with all sorts of people. One of my favourites is Hidden London. We start off by something not particularly hidden, but rather strange. A column going up to a height of 202 feet. This is the monument to the Great Fire of 1666. And right at the very top, you'll see a vase of flames. Now, if it fell down to the east, we'll mark the point where the fire began on the 2nd of September, 1666. Now, I talk about this fire because it was quite a devastating event for the city that Shakespeare had known, completely wiped out with flames. There's an inscription in Latin on the side here, and the words here tell us the fire raged for 3 days, destroying 89 churches, 400 streets, and 13,200 houses. Complete destruction. Right at the very bottom, though, you see under the word Elanguit, some words have been chiselled out, and the words used to state in Latin, "But popish frenzy which wrought these horrors has not yet been quenched." In other words, they blamed the fire on Catholics, as an English bakery started it down the street. Now, the words are finally cut up when the Catholics are emancipated in the 19th century. So I point out odd bits, weird bits, off-the-wall bits, sometimes in-the-wall bits as well. I'm going to take you down the street now. Instead, in the city, you will find no roads, only streets, hills, avenues, squares, not a single road. A bit further down, we find a rather handsome church designed by the genius Sir Christopher Wren, the Church of St. Magnus the Martyr. And in the churchyard outside it are two blocks of stone. Now, there's one over there which is white and got bits of moss on it. And this is part of the bridge, the London Bridge, that Shakespeare, others would have known. Started in the 13th century and lasted right up to the 19th. It had 19 stone arches across a very wide and very shallow and very tidal River Thames. So the water was going backwards and forwards twice a day. That's why London Bridge allegedly was always falling down. Hence the song, "London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down, my fair lady. Build it up with wood and clay, wood and clay, wood and clay. Build it up with wood and clay, my fair lady. Wood and clay will wash about 28 verses. Goes on forever." Now, there were houses and shops all the way along the bridge, 930 feet long, over 300 metres. So pilgrims would come, rather like sort of medieval tourists, and they'd pay their toll and buy a souvenir in one of the shops on the bridge, like a pilgrim badge or rosary beads. They go to the chapel of Thomas a Becket in the centre, say a prayer to the great saint, and off they'd go. And traffic became so congested, the city of London said, "Look, if a cart comes from the north, it must ride on the eastern side. If it comes from the south, it must ride on the west. That's one reason why we drive on the correct side of the road, left-hand side. As a result, most people are right-handed. When you're riding, your sword's on the left, so you ride to the left and you fight to the right." Now, the houses disappeared, and another bridge was built, and just over there is another block. It's a piece of granite, dates from the 1830s. That's part of the bridge that Charles Dickens would have known. Guess where the rest of that's gone? Lake Havasu, Arizona. Mr. McCulloch, amongst other things, the designer of a chainsaw, how they were pulling down the old bridge, he wrote to the city and said, "I want to buy this bridge." And they said, "Here, all right. So £1 million, please. $2.4 million then." Things have changed a bit. Now, there's a rumour that people thought when he signed that contract, he thought he was buying Tower Bridge, the one that flaps up and down. It's not true at all. He knew exactly what he was doing. He carved the whole thing up in blocks and transported 16,000 bits of granite in grain ships to America. They came through the Panama Canal, pulled in at Long Beach, California, and the custom guy said, "Okay, what you got? What's your cargo?" "We got a London Bridge." On the manifest, "A large antique. No tax on antiques." Ha ha. Trucked into Arizona, he dammed up the Colorado River, made a lake with an island, but the bridge cost this thing, and there was so much of that left over, some of that stone left over, he cut bits of it out and sold it as paperweights at $10 each. Made a total fortune. The man's a genius. Now, if you think where we're standing, if you pull that building beside the church down, that is where the first London Bridge was from the year 100 to the year 1750. So where we're standing, the Emperor Hadrian, King Alfred, Geoffrey Chaucer, Shakespeare, all would have walked through here. Okay, we're going back up now, and we're heading up back to the seat of the great disaster. Okay, we're back up at the monument now. And a much more impressive view of it from here down Monument Street. And you can see the names of the Lord Mayors inscribed in it. There were six of those. It took 6 years to build this. Now you can see at the top there's a vase of fire. The original design by Robert Hooke had not a vase of fire at the top, but a statue of King Charles II on the top. And the king looked at this proposed plan and said, just a minute, said, history would think I started the fire. Can we just have some fire, please? And that's what it is. Now, if it fell down in this direction, not the point where the fire began, or the baker's shop on Pudding Lane. And the Lord Mayor of London, Thomas Bludworth, it was his job to organise a volunteer fire crew. He arrived here and looked at this fire, was not particularly impressed with it. He said, a woman could piss it out. And sadly, this hypothetical female with a large bladder and an accurate aim did not turn up. And we had had a very dry summer and houses of things like oil, candles, rope, tar, ready to go. And the fire started at Pudding Lane and stopped 3 days later at Pie Corner. They said the fire went from pudding to pie and it has eaten up the sinful, gluttonous city of London. Don't forget the year the fire took place was 1666, the number 666, the number of the beast and revelations, and the year we'd seen Halley's Comet, an evil omen, and the Great Plague. But they blame everybody but the English. They accused a Dutch baker of starting the fire, tried to kill him. Luckily, his life was saved. A French lunatic called Hubert arrived 2 days after the fire started, and he said he started, so they hanged him anyway. Even the wind which caught the fire was called Belgian. It had come from the east. On the monument, they said Catholics had started. It's all fake news, the whole thing, completely dark. Now, just over there, you've got benches with a song inscribed on this. This is song number two. And it's a children's round about the great fire. London's burning, London's burning. Fetch the engines. Fire, 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 fire. Pour on water, pour on water. Okay, I do songs. Song number three coming up. Well, we're now in Clement's Lane, and there are three churches we can see. There's St. Clement Eastcheap, and behind us St. Edmund, King and Martyr, and St. Michael upon Cornhill. So lots of churches, all squashed up together, all with medieval foundation. Now, the St. Clement Church here is the real Oranges and Lemons Church. Now, you might have heard the song Oranges and Lemons, which is rung out by St. Clement Danes to the West, but this is the real one. Charles Dickens, as a travelling journalist, described the smells of the city. We're talking 1850s. He said, "The services to the west of Monument and churches always seem to smell of damaged oranges from ships from Seville in Spain would offload their fruit here. And as you approach Monument and Billingsgate, you were faced with a cosmopolitan blast of fish." And we started in Fish Street Hill. So the smell of fish, of oranges and lemons, tobacco, spices. Now it's the smell of money. Or the smell of fear in some of these banks. Talking of banking, banking really started here in the 14th century. You see there's a street called Lombard Street up there, and that's where Italians from northern Italy, Lombardia, started a foreign exchange business. And they gave us the word bank. You know where the word bank comes from? The Italian for a bench, banco. Do business on the banco. Credit or debit or both Italian banking terms. And if a banker went out of business, his bench was broken. Banco rotta gives us bankrupt. That's where it comes from. Now, the true Oranges and Lemons Church is here. Those who are English can join in the chorus. It goes like this. Bullseyes and targets to the bells of St. Margaret's, two sticks and an apple to the bell at Whitechapel. Old Father Baldpate's the bell at Aldgate. Oranges and lemons to the bells of St. Clement's. You owe me 5 farthings to the bells of St. Martin's. When will you pay me to the bell at Old Bailey? When I grow rich, the bell at Shoreditch. Pray, when will that be to the bell at Stepney? I'm sure I don't know, says the great bell at Bow. That's the short version. And it's a strange mantra. Here comes a candle to light you to bed. Here comes a chopper to chop off your head. Chop, 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 you're dead. Now, talking of candles, we go down Cannon Street. Not to do with guns or cannons, but the Candlemaker Street squashed a cannon by Londoners. What we see next is a piece of old London stuck in a wall. Just a brief musical interlude at this point. There was a mayor, the first mayor of Greater London, established in the 1990s, and his name was Ken Livingstone. And an interesting political character, and I wrote this about him. So wind yourself back about 20 years.
I'm really pleased to meet you. If you don't know who I am, you must have spent a lifetime in the jungles of Siam. My gaff is down the river, it's a great big ball of glass, and if you lot don't like it, you can shove it in your ear. I am the mayor. I am the mayor. I'm the one that puts the wind up, Tony Blair. I am the mayor. I win and dare. I'm the one that just blocked up Trafalgar Square. I am the mayor. I'm in the chair. And it's no use people saying it's not fair. You've only got yourselves to blame. You put a cross against my name, and now I'm a cross you've got to bear. I've been on Lambeth Council. I was MP for Brent. I know the streets of London from Middlesex to Kent. You may recall at County Hall I ran the DLC. Who cares about the policies as long as you saw me? I am the mayor of you know where, of nasal twang and fast receding hair. I am the mayor. Don't stand and stare. Be careful you're not blinded by the glare. I am the mayor, and I have flair. I'm a revolutionary like Robespierre. And although I'm just as red, I intend to keep my head and ride onwards on a current of hot air. When it comes to London, transport drivers like to make a fuss, but I'm merely not them sideways my brand new bendy bus. I've closed off all the rat-run cycle lanes on every street. Once the tubes go out and strike, then you will have to use your feet. I am the mayor. I'm rather rare. I do things that Geoffrey Archer wouldn't dare. I am the mayor, and in my lair, I've got more plans to survive than Yogi Bear. I am the mayor, with savoir-faire. My bandwagons all fall up so you can't share. And if you put nails on the road so my tyres will explode, you can't puncture me, I've always got a spare. I have altered London's skyline like no one has done before. I like knocking down on people from the 57th floor. Norman Foster's made a palace for me called the City Hall. To go with the Crystal Palace, we need one more testicle. I am the mayor, so contemporary, with more cool than the latest Frigidaire. I am the mayor, I'm over there, with my nose stuck up the rears of millionaires. I am the mayor, I'll say a prayer, that the city will look like America, and that all these great erections will secure me re-elections. If New York's a great big apple, we're a pair. So there.